Climb through. Right. So thank you all for joining us today. And I want to give a big thank you to Mark Donovan, who will be speaking with us this hour. So Mark is Global Director, Digital and AI Solutions Group at Nestle Purina Pet Care R&D Network. So this interview is an element of IRI's digitalization community. So the DXC is a community of organizations that are on the journey toward digital transformation. And through the DXC, you can access case studies with fresh, relevant content, a conference dedicated to digital transformation, that's Digital Futures, and it will be taking place in October, fingers crossed, in person in Cleveland. We also have facilitated roundtable discussions on key topics. We'll be having one tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. And if you don't already have the calendar invitation, you want to join, just pop me an email and I'll send it to you. We have updates with insights and additional resources. And then we do webinar interviews with thought leaders like we are doing right now. And these always take place on the third Thursday of the month at 12 p.m. Eastern. And I'll be sure to sign all of you up to receive updates on the DXC. And if you don't want an update, just let me know and I will make sure not to add you. So just a few housekeeping items to get through before we can begin our conversation with Mark. So first, this session is being recorded and you will get a link to the recording. We will be distributing the recording as a podcast, so there won't be any visuals here today. Second, please hold all questions until the end. And once we open the floor to questions, you can type your questions into the chat and I'll read it out for you, or you can jump in and do kind of a face-to-face conversation. Right, all that boring stuff out of the way. Thanks again for joining me today, Mark. Very excited for the interview.
Absolutely.
So let's get started. So I'm going to make a big assumption here. But, you know, I'm allowed to because I have a dog, but I know a lot of people are pet owners. So before we talk about you and your work at Purina, can you just tell us a little bit about, you know, the pet care category itself at Nestle Purina?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me, Lee. I hope my leadership thoughts on digital are actually helpful to everyone. I can tell you they're certainly hard-learned lessons. And so I'll share what I know and hopefully it can benefit others. Before I jump into just some of the category details, though, if you would give me permission, I'd love to turn the tables on you for a second and ask you a couple of questions that I think will help set some context just for the discussion that's going to come on pet care. I know, as you mentioned, you're a pet owner. Can you tell us tell us what pets you have at home?
Oh, well, don't get me started. I could talk the whole hour about my angel dog. She's wonderful. Her name is Jessie. She's a black Labrador and she's two. And as my children will tell you, she is my favorite child. So, she's my favorite person in the house, actually.
Probably not unusual in many of our homes, right? It's oftentimes, I know for me, right, no matter how bad the day was for myself, my wife, when I show up at the door, open the garage door and walk in the house, I know my dog Jackson's always going to be there with a tail wagging and happy to see me no matter what, right? And so that's great. And you already gave us a hint into what I wanted to ask you next about your pet. And that is maybe just talk a little bit about how you describe that relationship.
Oh, gosh. You know, I often say it's like having a third kid, but a much more pleasant third kid for me. But yeah, she's always there. She's reliable, you know, and she keeps me in line. She makes sure that she gets her walkies and her treats and she gets fed at a certain time. So yeah, she keeps us in line, but also, you know, she provides that light relief, especially throughout the pandemic. She's been a lifesaver because she's just, you know, someone for the kids to talk to when they're feeling down and for them to read to her. And also just that kind of constant, furry, pleasant companion who has loved the pandemic because everyone is home with her and walking her all the time. So she's had a great pandemic. But yeah, she's a very key member of my family.
Well, that's great. And that's actually not unusual for us to hear in research as we sit and talk with pet owners, to hear them talk about pets as family, pets as children, right? Certainly we've got a strong emotional connection to the pets in our lives. We, you know, like I think of it like with my kids as a parent, I want my dog and my cats to to live a long, healthy, happy, productive life, right? I want to find ways to be more emotionally connected to my pets because they are so important to me. And I think I can hear that coming through loud and clear for you as well, right? And it's that connection that people have with the pets that they love is really foundational to the success that we have as a company at Purina, right? Well, we'll be talking about digital. Most will be familiar with Purina as a world-leading manufacturer of food for pets. We're also the world's leading manufacturer of cat litter for pets as well, right? And everything we do is done with the intent of trying to enhance that relationship and experience that pet owners have with their pets. And so using that a little bit as an entry point into talking about the category. And oh, by the way, we probably won't have time today, but if I ever have an opportunity, I'd love to share with the group kind of what I think is one of the world's greatest startup stories about some crazy guy that lived in St. Louis back in the 1890s named William Danforth, who had an idea that started a company that became something pretty cool. And so I'll leave that as a tickler. And if we get back to it today, that's great. If not, maybe another time over a beer in one of Denny's establishments would be good. So I started working for what was then Ralston Purina in 2001. And just within months of joining Ralston, as we refer to it here in St. Louis, Nestle announced the acquisition of Ralston Purina and the creation of what has been now for almost 20 years, the Nestle Purina Pet Care Company. And this company has been a revenue and growth engine for Nestle continuously over the last 20 years. I think last I saw globally, the revenue that Purina generates in the Nestle family accounts for about 15% of Nestle total revenue, and is normally one or two in terms of organic growth for the company, right? And that growth's fueled by the amazing innovation and products that we pump out of our core business, as well as just the what we enjoy in terms of this consistent and ongoing growth of the pet care category, more people owning more pets, and we certainly benefit from that. And so the pet care category globally right now, it's about a $300 billion category. That's food, services, lots of other things lumped in there. And it's very similar in many ways to how you might think about the baby care category, where the consumer of our food and litter products isn't who's purchasing the products and making those purchasing decisions. And that consumer also can't really tell you very well, oftentimes, how they're feeling, whether they like the products, et cetera. So it creates an interesting dynamic. Pet food accounts for about half of our global, half of the global spend on pet products. And interestingly, there are about 500 million dogs and about 400 million cats that are living in people's homes around the world today. In the US, it's about 100 million each living in homes. And our core business, as many of you know, and hopefully our users of our brands and products, really it's a business that's devoted to delivering food as medicine, right? Food that can help your pet if in either get better from any diseases or conditions that it might have, or to delay the onset of those kinds of health conditions that may be imminent with aging pets, things like that. Through a digital product lens, our ecosystem goal is really to deliver smart devices for pets that enable insight into the health and nutrition needs that are unique to each pet based on the data that we're able to get from our pet. And our belief is that this digital product category as a new subcategory within pet care, we'll see it continue to grow and grow. I think today it's probably close to $1 billion category globally itself, just digital products for pets.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that large.
It's a good problem to have.
Definitely. So I know you've got a really diverse set of experiences and backgrounds, especially, as you moved into the digital space. So Can you tell me just a little bit more about your background and describe, you know, what your role in leading digital transformation has been at Purina?
Yeah, absolutely. So by education, I'm a biologist and a process engineer. So a natural scientist, a kind of a physical scientist. And before I found a home at Purina 21 years ago, I spent a number of years working kind of at corporate level in a number of companies, starting with the U.S. Air Force, Anderson Consulting, Monsanto, PetSmart, and in all cases across all of those companies in different industries, always leading groups, developing software and systems, right? Even going back to mainframe applications, custom SAP bolt-on software in the SAP world, retail point of sale systems at PetSmart, and some of the things we'll talk about here at Purina. I originally was hired to lead groups developing software for Purina's R&D organization and had the good fortune to have been given the opportunity after a few years of doing that to move over to the actual product development side and lead groups that were developing food products, cat or dog and cat snacks for a while, and then move into our cat litter business, leading our group developing cat litter products, which when I got the call, the offer, I couldn't refuse to do that. My first thought was, okay, I'm going into cat litter. I really must have screwed something up big time in my career. But what I came to learn very quickly is that the challenges are enormous. The technical challenges of developing a cat litter product that meet the cat's needs and meet the pet owner's needs. It's actually quite a complicated problem to solve. And it was in that role that I started. I was spending a lot of time around cats and litter boxes and started literally putting sensors on litter boxes and under litter boxes and starting to think about, you know, if I could track how this cat's going to the bathroom and how its bathroom behaviors, we call it elimination behaviors, how those change over time, maybe I could gain some insight into what's going on with a pet from a behavior and health perspective, not only now, but predictive insight for the future. And that then kind of catapulted me into about 8 years in corporate innovation at Purina, leading a group that did nothing but dive into prototyping and testing digital products, particularly connected devices, what we call IoT products, like collars and bowls and litter boxes and things like that for pet, which then launched me into becoming the first commercial IoT product lead for Purina. And then just about 2 years ago, was given the opportunity to go back to my tribe in R&D and stand up what is Purina's now research and development arm supporting digital product development for our businesses all around the world.
That's quite the journey.
I've been around a long time, so that's what happens.
Yeah. So, you know, I have to admit this. On the one hand, you've told us that you guys have been creating digital products for pets for a long time now, but as a brand, I don't think of you guys as a digital products company, I have to say. So, you know, how can I reconcile that gap? Can you help me understand a bit more?
Yeah, it's been a long and painful journey, right? There've been a lot of walls that I've walked into over and over and keep probably even today still find myself walking into. And, you know, one of the things that I coach people on in my group often is, right, like innovation is hard, especially when you're doing something that your company's never done before. And it requires people who are willing to persevere, right? And to be told no a lot of times and never hear no, but always hear, I haven't yet quite found the right way to get a yes. And so it's true. It's very possible that while what you described can sound contradictory, it's very possible that both of those contradictory sounding things can be very true, right? It's hard to get a company to do something new and different, even though it needs to embrace something new and different. And for many years, particularly those years I described in corporate innovation, I was being funded by kind of a small group of internal senior leaders that were willing to think differently and shared this vision. And while the bigger company wasn't ready to go, right, they kept fueling me with enough funds to keep going and keep learning. And while I was doing that in parallel, I was working very closely with a number of internal venture funds and accelerators within Purina. Things like we've got a group called Nine Square Ventures. You can find that online. The Pet Care Innovation Network, our Purina Accelerator Labs, et cetera, all examples of groups looking to invest in digital companies in the pet care space. And over time, the work that I was doing, the work that these other groups were doing really grew, created enough inertia as this digital category started to emerge more and more in pet to give us the permission where we actually started building and launching some digital product MVPs in test markets around the world.
So what are some of those digital products that are out there right now?
We've got some cool ones, and I encourage your listeners, if they have a chance, when they have a chance to check them out. We've tried to be very thoughtful in developing a digital product ecosystem strategy that's been really, or that is really focused on giving pet owners confidence in knowing that they're making the best possible decisions every day on behalf of the health and nutrition needs of their pet. And so while our ecosystem is still very much in its early infant days, we've got quite a few products branded Purina in market today that you can find. I'll highlight some of them. In the direct-to-consumer custom dog food business space, where you can order something online that's very custom for your dog's needs, get it shipped directly to your home. We developed a company, product in a company called Just Right by Purina in the US, where you can find that online. You can answer some questions about your pet. You'll get some custom formulation happening right there on the spot that will formulate a product specific to your dog's needs. And even beyond that, what pet owners tell us they love with that one is you can upload a picture of your pet and you can name the product, and that's what's printed on the label that gets shipped to your doorstep, right? And so we get a lot of people that love having their pets on the package. We also get a lot of people that love to do that for family and friends and just have them be surprised by a Just Right product showing up for your dog Fluffy that you didn't even know was coming with Fluffy's picture. And it's called Fluffy Food or something like that. It's a level of customization that I think that people really enjoy. In Europe, we acquired a company a number of years ago called Tails.com that's essentially a business model very similar to Just Right, just more targeted to the needs of the European pet owner in that case. We've acquired two of the largest online pet adoption sites around the world in the US, Pet Finder, which many people are familiar with, is a Purina property, a Purina-owned product. And I work with that team very closely here in St. Louis, where I'm sitting. We also acquired a company in Europe called Wamiz. Both of them are all about creating a marketplace that can connect pets that need homes with people that are looking to fill their home with pets they can love as well. Let's see what else. In the pet coaching space, we've got a couple of products that we've built from ground up. In the US, we've got one called MyPup, an app that you can download in the App Store. In Europe, we've got one called ZigZag, another app you can download in the App Store. Both of them are all about helping give advice to pet owners specific to their pet's needs for how to be a better pet owner. And just to hit a couple others, we've got a custom direct-to-consumer natural supplement site for dogs in the US called Everroot. We've got a custom microbiome supplement site in the US called PetQCheck, where you'll have your test do a microbiome diagnostic test. That's a nice way of saying, put some of your dog's poop in a bag and send it to our lab. And we've got experts that will analyze the bacterial population that lives in your pet's intestinal system, in the gut, and we'll be able to recommend supplements, not so much that are directly what your dog needs, but are what your dog's bacteria needs, right? And we know through a science lens, same with humans, that whatever direction your gut microbiome is going in, your health is going to probably go in the same direction as well. The last product I'll mention It's the one I've been most excited about. And as you heard me talk earlier about putting sensors on litter boxes and tracking cats going to the bathroom, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. They pay me a lot to do that, so it's a good thing. But we launched our first commercial pilot of a connected device product in the U.S. In the back half of last year. It's a product called, under a new brand for Purina, called Petivity, and it's a cat litter box monitoring system, or what I think of as a cat health monitoring system. And so it's a device that sits under your cat's litter box and tracks your cat's weight and elimination behavior patterns over time. And those changes in those patterns can be highly predictive of changing health risks for cats. And any of us that have been cat owners know that there are some diseases in cats, particularly renal, urinary kinds of things, that can sneak up on you really quick. And once you see the change, it's probably, you know, those diseases are far, far advanced. And so this is a tool, we believe, a first of its kind of an early warning indicator for changing elimination behavior health that can be very predictive of early onset or pre-onset of these kinds of diseases that, you know, probably kill 20 million cats in the U.S. alone every year.
So actually, I'm going to jump in because Denny just asked, you know, what if you have three cats? Does it track the different cats?
Yeah, it's a great question, Denny. Thanks for asking. So it does. And it's really cool. The easy button for us would have been to make you put an RFID chip on a tag that you attach to your cat's collar. But a lot of people don't like cat collars, or to read the chip that you have implanted in the back of your pet from the vet, you know, your pet ID chip kind of a thing. We took a different path on this one. And what we learned is that the way each cat moves in its litter box is like a signature. It's unique. It's like a fingerprint. And so we've developed some pretty sophisticated artificial intelligence that, based on the weight of the cat and its movement patterns, particularly if you get two cats that are close to the same weight, we can identify with high precision exactly which cat is in which litter box. And it's very normal. 2, 3, 4 cats in a home, 2, 3, 4, 5 litter boxes in a home. If you stick one of our devices under each of those litter boxes, we'll be able to keep track of each of your cats, when it's going, where it's going, how it's going, how one cat's behaviors are influencing the other cat's behaviors. And cats are kind of crazy like that, right? If my cat Ollie goes to the bathroom, I can be sure that my other cat George is probably like a minute behind him checking out what just happened in the litter box.
That's amazing.
It's cool. It is. It's a lot of fun.
Definitely. It's a great solution. I love that. Thanks for that.
Yeah. I had a very, very short story, but years ago when I was heavily invested in the litter business, I was talking to my financial advisor, and it was somebody that was new that didn't really know me. And that she asked what I did for a living. And I said, I'm one of the world's leading cat litter scientists. And there was a pause on the phone, and she said, I didn't even know they existed, and I can't believe they pay you that much. It's like, hey, it's go America. What a great life.
But if you've got cats, you get it. You understand, because the litter is not fun. It's not fun. Part of the reason I don't have a cat right now, because it's not fun dealing with the litter. So you touched on this before a little bit, but you know, you've got this really unique position where you're dealing with dogs and cats, and they don't make this decision, the spending decisions, although I would argue my dog, you know, she knows what she wants. But, you know, I'm the one who's got to make the final spending decision, and they don't tell you what they want or how they're feeling. So how does that influence how you approach developing the digital products?
Yeah, honestly, it's absolutely front of mind every day for us, both in our core food and litter business, as well as in our litter business, right? We feel a heavy responsibility to make sure we're a helper, an expert helper to pet owners in making those pet owning decisions every day, right? That set you up for success, that set your pet up for a long, healthy, happy life. And, ultimately, we look at our role as addressing a need that we've heard from pet owners over and over for a long time, which is this idea that they're looking for solutions that will give them confidence that they're making the right decisions every day that are going to set them and their pet up for kind of this idea of a better tomorrow, right? And it's these types of insights have made it clear to us that particularly in the digital product area, that our first priority before we try and sell you a dog food or a cat food is to make sure we're meeting and addressing that fundamental need of giving you confidence that you know as much as possible about your pet and its needs, right? And we look at ourselves as a helper who can see those needs, give you an expert interpretation on what your pet's unique needs are based on your pet's unique data, right? And then building digital product experiences around that are fun to use, that pet owners love and they want to use. That said, right, we've got this big focus on the consumer. We're also a business that has to make money. And so we have to be very thoughtful as well, not only about delivering consumer value, but also delivering business value in the things that we do. And as a pet food company, the obvious connection, particularly for our leaders who grew up making their careers successful by making and selling food and litter, is finding ways to connect the digital product experience and the benefits we're giving to consumers, to pet owners, to our core business in making personalized recommendations about food and litter products that can address the needs of the pet. And I can tell you, for me, it's almost a daily thing that I have to be thoughtful of is the inertia of our core business wants to push us to going too fast, too soon in making recommendations to sell our food products, right? And I know if you go out and buy a dog collar today, you're probably going to spend anywhere from $50 to $250 for the range of dog collars in market today. There's not one person that puts that money down for one of those products is going to say, I bought this so that Purina can tell me what food I should be buying from them, right? That's like the last thing. It's like the biggest turnoff for them ever. And so we have to be very thoughtful first and foremost about building a relationship with them that benefits the pet owner and the pet, and then kind of earn the right over time through that trust in that relationship to start to gently meld in kind of the idea like your pet has these kinds of health needs, joint health, urinary renal health, cognitive health, whatever those may be. And oh, by the way, we've got some amazing products that would be perfect for your pet based on those specific needs.
Okay. So you've kind of got two different lenses you're dealing with in your role too. So you've got the digital transformation in Purina's R&D organization, and then the commercial digital products development role and the transfer of the R&D organization itself. So how are you reconciling all this, and how are they similar? How are they different? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's a question that's top of mind for me as well every day. And I didn't do a very good job in sharing my background on the digital transformation side. I talked mostly about my focus in commercial digital products. But over the last 12, 18 months, as we've got settled in on the commercial digital product side, right, another role kind of emerged that I naturally fell into, and that's really leading the digital transformation of our R&D organization itself from the inside out. And there's some clear similarities and differences between and comparing and contrasting them for me in terms of similarities. The humorous side of me just wants to say that they're both really hard things to do well. And they're both their own full-time jobs, and that, I go home every day like, oh, I did a half-assed job on each one of them, and I wish I had more time to devote to both of them. But maybe a little bit more seriously, they're both very similar in that they're all about leveraging technology to solve a problem that somebody has, right? We talk about them as pain points, unmet needs, jobs to be done, right? I've paid a lot of consultants over the years, and depending on who I'm paying, they call it something different, but I think of it as kind of the pain point thing. And in both cases, whether it's commercial products or internal R&D, digital transformation, it's about understanding what is that pain point that somebody has and designing a solution that addresses that need in a satisfactory way, right? And Ultimately, it's the technology really becomes just an enabler of connecting the problem to the solution. But for me, as a kind of a maker, a designer, a builder mindset, it's all about understanding the problem first, getting the person with the problem to start to nod affirmatively as you describe a solution to the problem and what that solution experience might look like. That's the heavy lifting for me. And there's a lot of amazingly smart people in the technology space that once we understand how we can solve that problem, then it's bringing the smart people in to apply the technologies that are relevant for that in that case to actually build that experience and bring it to life. From a difference perspective, very different from one another in other ways. One that's top of mind for me is on the commercial side, I've got to be very cost conscious, right? Particularly with connected devices, right? The cost to design, build, manufacture, support, and operate a smart litter box device business, if you will, it has a huge impact on the profitability that our company experiences from that, right? And this is brand new to us. We're just figuring and learning this out, how to do this well and do it profitably is very top of mind on the commercial side. On the internal R&D side, while we're developing very similar systems and in some cases maybe using the same systems within R&D, typically because it's research, these devices have to meet a level of scientific rigor in terms of the quality of data that's being acquired, the confidence we have in the accuracy of the data, the ability to produce valid and repeatable results. And that will oftentimes drive us to take the same device that we're selling to a home commercially and have to juice it up differently to use it internally for R&D. Cost in some cases much, much more, where cost becomes less of an impactor. So that it can be leveraged from an R&D perspective.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So, you know, can you explain a bit more about, you know, how digital transformation has taken place and evolved at Nestle Purina Pet Care? I forget the full name.
Yeah. It is an evolution, right? It's a journey and we're very much on it. I think it's a journey where we try and be pretty humble about the fact that, like, we got more questions than we've got answers, and we're constantly learning from others. And I think we're constantly trying to challenge our own thinking and our own assumptions. We're always, what I thought was a true assumption or a hypothesis yesterday, I'll find out today was absolutely false. And we have to adjust and we have to pivot and try and go forward quickly in a different way. This is an important insight that's slowly become more and more apparent to us, right? And that's that while we're the best company in the world at making pet food and cat litter, we know how to deliver those products in a way that meets the needs of pet owners in a profitable way for our business. This insight that's been very slow to take root and take hold, and it's still a part of our journey, is that digital products are an entirely different animal. I don't know if I can say that in Purina, but you can't say, okay, here I go again, going off path a little bit, but at Purina, you can't say things like this dog don't hunt and it's raining cats and dogs and right, things like that. So apologize for that. I can't help myself. But digital products in the digital product category, it's extremely different than the way we develop products, the way we think, our processes and workflows for the manufacture of food and litter as a CPG company, right? And I think more and more every day we have our leaders continuing to understand better that if we're gonna be successful in this digital product space, and if we imagine achieving that success by doing everything the same way we do it in our core business of food and litter, we're gonna be doomed from the outset, right? And this is probably one of the biggest challenges that we have, is giving ourselves permission in the digital space to work in very different ways from how we work in our core space so that we can leverage and create from the resources that we do have competitive advantage in the space, right? If we try and force ourselves to fit into the shoe of making digital like we make food, we're going to blow the opportunity to leverage a lot of advantages that we could be leveraging in the digital product space. As I'm talking, one specific example that comes to mind that we've really wrestled a lot with, and that is in our core business, food and litter, as a CPG. When we launch a new product into a market like US, on day one of that launch, we've already pre-filled that entire supply chain. We've got product on shelves all over the country, and it has to be perfect, right? There's no room for error at that point in time. And so we may spend years ahead of that perfecting the product experience in R&D, behind the doors of R&D, gaining confidence that we know we've nailed the taste of the product, the shape and color of the product, the texture of the product, the aroma, right? All of those things that, interestingly, the way your dog perceives the aroma of food is very different than the way you perceive it. And so trying to develop a product that satisfies both is a challenge. And we'll spend years on that so that when it launches on day one, it's perfect. On the digital product side, I think we've learned enough to know that we can't nail the product experience or achieve what we've learned is called product market fit of that experience until we've actually launched it as an MVP. We've sold some products at small scale, and then we've connected with those early users in their real homes with their real pets, and leveraging them to help us iterate and improve those product experiences. And you know, I think about it often as what we're really doing in digital is we're extending our laboratory beyond the walls of R&D and into the homes of real people with real pets paying their own money to buy and use those products. And it's not until we validated those digital product experiences with those early users that we know we're really in a position where it makes sense to turn the jets on to national marketing campaign, scaling up manufacturing, those kinds of things. And I think we're trying to be very sensitive to the fact that if we turn the jets of marketing and manufacturing on too soon, right, we could be investing a lot and not have a demand there that's ready to be filled by those things.
Yeah, that's a huge mind shift for you guys, I imagine. That must have taken a lot.
It is taking a lot. It's a journey. I feel like I walk around the halls of Purina, you know, with my drum, and people see me coming and they probably already know what's going to come out of my mouth, right? It's like repeating, remember, right? We have to think differently. We have to behave differently.
So what's the structure and foundation for digital transformation in the organization? So, you know, where does it sit? Because we get a lot of these questions, you know, because people are trying different things. So what's working for you guys?
So we've set our digital, you know, our structure around digital to mirror very, very much our structure in our core business today. I think we all have eyes wide open that we don't know if that's long-term the way we want to operate our digital businesses or not. And so, you know, we've got in most Nestle companies an interesting checks and balances type of a structure where, Purina is a global business, but we have regional CEOs, and each CEO is responsible for a geography, and they've got a lot of autonomy to make decisions in their geography and to make their geography a revenue generator and a profit, a profit center for the company. And in parallel, we've got what I'll call a strategic business unit, which has a lot of control and ownership over our brands and our intellectual property, but our CEOs don't report directly into that function, right? And so there's a little bit of a push-pull there that happens. And our R&D organization, which I sit in, is part of that global strategic business unit function that has a global mandate, if you will. And so we've kind of aligned early to say, let's work with our regions. Let's have the global team work with the regions. Let's respect the autonomy that the regional CEOs have. And let's work together to start running a lot of early experiments in their regions with different digital products, right? And most of those products I described earlier are all examples really of starting kind of with the idea of, hey, we're running an experiment. And now over time, we're starting to turn it into kind of its own little business. And we're learning every day how to create products through this structure that are desirable to pet owners in the regions, the geographical regions where those products are being offered. We're learning how the wants and needs of pet owners are different in different geographies. We're learning how to make these products viable and profitable for our businesses. We're also very much on a learning journey of trying to understand what elements of digital products need to be retained by the regions. The regions need to have control over designing, like the app experience, for example. What a German may want in a dog collar app experience could be extremely different than what a French person might want, even though they're both in the European region, right? And so we're learning things like, okay, we need to have some flexibility and regional customization of certain elements of the experience. And we're also learning that there are elements of digital product experiences that are very global in nature and are things we may find make much more sense for us to manage, fund, support, and grow through more of a global lens that all of the regions then can leverage.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So what are the next steps? You know, how is everything evolving? You know, where do you see digital taking you guys in the next few years? I won't put an exact year number on there.
Thank you for that. I wouldn't commit to one anyway, right? That's the kiss of death, is being too specific. It's the art of the negotiation, even within the company, right? Of setting expectations and managing to those expectations. I think we have a very realistic understanding that digital products, digital technologies are fundamentally changing how we do business. All of us in every industry, they're fundamentally changing consumer behavior, particularly in the areas, in the product spaces that we're in, right? Around things like how people are receiving and interpreting data and information, how they're making purchase decisions. And I think we have our eyes pretty wide open that if we are to remain relevant as a global brand for pet owners, for vets, for others that we would call key stakeholders, key customers and consumers, in order for us to survive, we've got to embrace digital as kind of the next frontier, a place where we've got to not only play in, but we've got to win in, right? And I think it's an interesting situation where there's a lot of upside opportunity and competitive advantage that I believe that Purina can bring to this digital product marketplace. But it's also a very new and unfamiliar space for us as a company, right? A bunch of us who've made our careers not making digital products, but making food and litter. And that while we recognize like we need to be in this new space, it feels really foreign and it feels very risky. I know, I can see it in the eyes of my stakeholders when I come begging for money, asking for money. And, Mark may walk in and say, hey, I need 5 million or 10 million or 20 million to do X. And I can see the thought bubble over their heads going, like, I kind of trust Mark. He's been a good dude for a long time. I have no idea what the hell he's talking about with this digital thing. And I have no way of even understanding, like, am I ever going to see a return on this investment with Mark? And if I do, what's it going to be, right? And that same person who's grown up in the pet food and litter space is going to say, I could take that same amount of money and I could plow it into my core brands. And I could pretty much predict with high accuracy the return I'm going to get from that, right? And so this is, I think, a really interesting part of the situation where, we haven't yet carved out digital from a business lens, through a business lens yet, where we've got a CEO of digital, but it's the CEO of Purina US is responsible for food, litter, for digital as well, right? And this is part of, I think, the learning journey we're on, is really understanding how best do we structure our digital businesses and business models within the company so that we can make the gains, deliver the products, drive the revenue, add to the bottom line and the top line through digital products that, that we know we need to, without our senior leaders always feeling this pressure of knowing, you know, not quite sure what I'm going to get from Mark, but I know if I take that money away from Mark and give it to those folks over here doing food and litter, right, I know I can count on that because that's a playbook that we've run for decades, right? And it continues to work real well. Yeah, it's a space where, you know, we've got a great opportunity to create an entirely new marketplace through this lens of digital products. For me, I'm advocating every day that I think, you know, I would much rather be the one creating the new digital marketplace where we're helping people with their pets, where we're leveraging the marketplaces, the trust, the relationships that we're creating as well to drive revenue in our core business, right? Creating essentially a new new channel for driving core revenue. And I think recognize that if we don't do that, others will figure that out. And, you know, if I imagine the digital marketplace of the future for pets doesn't have a Purina brand on it, we're going to want our products to be represented there. And just like we in, you know, brick and mortar retail, right, we compete heavily for position on shelf, position in store. That, you know, the digital version of that is competing to be whose product pops up the top of the page and in terms of recommendations and options, us or our consumers.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, I think that applies to so many of our members too. You know, it's not just you going through that. Cause I hear that, you know, people want to stick with what they know. It's easier, you know, it's more guaranteed, and having to sell, you know, people on that resource investment is a huge task. It's, yeah, I don't think you're the only one.
It's, yeah, as much of a risk as it is to not doing it. For me, it's a huge opportunity, right? Because our business model forever is we sell to retailers who sell to pet owners. And right, there's a cost to us to dealing with the retailers. If we become the owner of the retailer, the retail market in the future in the digital space, that's a huge opportunity to have much more control over that retail experience. And to eliminate some of those costs, right? That adds up to big, you know, real money, big real money for a company like ours, any CPG, every year.
Yeah. So we've already got questions coming in. So the first one I think is pretty relevant to what you were just discussing too. So as you build your digital/connected device products, do you find you can build the capabilities necessary to be successful with your existing personnel, or do you need to strongly leverage external partners or hire new talent? More resource allocation stuff.
I'm sure anybody doing digital in a company that traditionally isn't a digital company is probably experiencing what I've experienced, which is we're finding ways to leverage existing skills and talents in very different ways. But at the same time, we're finding that there are entirely new and very foreign skill sets to our company that we've got to go out and find. And my approach is typically to start with hiring on contract or hiring contracted teams, individuals or teams. And then as we learn what's working and what's not working, I'm learning like what skill sets do we really need and don't we need? And then over time, start thinking about kind of contract to hire, creating permanent positions in Purina. We've been very successful at that as a company in lots of areas where new technologies come to life. But it's a great question. Just thinking about my comment of how we're learning to use existing skills and capabilities in new and different ways. I think a great example for me is within our R&D organization, we've got some of the most amazing animal behaviorists in the world that are doing just, you know, supporting our core food business, helping design foods and litter products that dogs and cats are going to like and prefer. now we're finding our behaviorists, that we can use our behaviorists and nutritionists and our vets and our R&D organization to sit down with us and say, hey, I've got this device that's acquiring this litter box data from a cat. It's weight data, it's bathroom behavior pattern data. And if we imagine how a cat's data could change over time as experts in pet, vets, nutritionists, behaviorists, how would you think that logic would play out in terms of what combinations of change in the data get us to different outcomes? Are they good outcomes? Are they bad outcomes? For each outcome, if a pet experienced it, what advice would we give the pet owner, right? And this is an entirely new value that our people are able to deliver, right? And it's very unique and very specific to digital. And had digital not come along, right, we would have never realized that there's another way to deliver a return on Nestle's investment in Purina R&D. But we're finding that examples like that are creating very new and very different ways for us to realize value with our people. Our people are getting excited about it too, as they understand, like, okay, I'm not always working on a food product or a litter product. I get to work on these cool new digital products, and I'm not having a very hard time getting our experts to come play in our sandbox of digital, right? It's for most of them, it's fun, it's very creative, it's very different.
Yeah, and I like the reference to the sandbox there, litter box.
I didn't even think.
You're just so embedded.
Can I tell you one more story, speaking of the sandbox?
Oh, please do.
So my two youngest sons, 24 and 25 year olds, are both in dental school right now. So they're on the verge of becoming, you know, true professionals, I guess, much more than their dad ever was. One of them, when he was about five, we were living in Phoenix back in my PetSmart days. And we had lots of desert out in our backyard. And we kind of had a sandbox for a while where he had his matchbox cars and trucks and would go out and dig. And one day we were cleaning up the yard, and my wife found some human waste buried in the sandbox. And she called the two young boys in, and it's like, you know, James and Samuel, do you know what this is? And James was like, yes. And she's like, what? He said, Mom, I pooped in the sandbox just like the big cats do. Right. And so he saw what our cats were doing in the house, and he knew he had his own sandbox, and he thought, oh, this is exactly what that's for, right? Who cares about playing with trucks?
Wow. I really hope that they hear this story.
I'll be toast.
We'll keep it to ourselves. But, you know, I mean, and, you know, you work in the cat, you know, it's all intertwined, you know, he definitely had a good excuse, you know?
Hey, you know, in my line of business, we're talking about poop and pee every day, and it becomes second nature, right? It's
well, and anytime you're dealing with kids.
Exactly.
So we've got time for just one more question, and it's, has the increase in digital competency in your organization been useful to R&D in areas like machine learning enabled formulation, digital twins for process design and control, et cetera?
Yeah, very, very relevant question for us. We are, again, this is a journey. I have a group of data scientists in my group that are doing nothing but developing machine learning, deep learning, neural network types of solutions, leveraging the different kinds of data we're getting in through these different kinds of devices, right? Things that I've talked about today, things that haven't yet found their way to market, but will. And so artificial intelligence is truly becoming foundational. The way I kind of view it as a product developer is many of the skill sets required to make a digital product, apps and devices and the cloud backend and all of that, are relatively commoditized types of skill sets where there's a lot of really good people I can hire, companies I can hire. So I don't necessarily need to staff them as full-time Purina people. I know they're there. I know they'll work for me. And let me own the data and the IP that they create, which is hugely valuable. Mm-hmm. We've recognized for our work in Purina that the strategic intellectual property that's coming out of all of this is the intelligence that we can create, right? The artificial intelligence that can translate a pet's data into insight, into something that we can then leverage to have this conversation with pet owners. And so we've very tactically and strategically said that, you know, that's what we're going to own. And that's what we're going to become the best at, is that intelligence side. That flows into things in our manufacturing side as well. Doing a lot of work with AI and manufacturing, predictive maintenance kinds of things. Digital twin is a hot topic for us as well. Spending a lot of time thinking about how can we mathematically, statistically predict whether a pet's going to like a food or not before we ever feed it to them. How are we going to predict? How can we predict whether this new formula will be digested properly by the pet without ever feeding it to the pet? Or in our pilot plants and manufacturing facilities, how can we predict that if I put these ingredients into an extruder, that I can get the attributes coming out of the extruder in that product form that I'm trying to get, right? And that we're very early in this space, but it's, I predict that's kind of crazy. I think that this is a space we'll certainly spend a lot of time and investment on trying to get better at as we go forward.
Well, that was fantastic. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, Mark. Those were some great stories. We'll keep the one about the sandbox to ourselves. We don't want to get you in trouble at home.
I'll be in so much trouble if that gets out. So please help me.
We will try not to let it go viral. You know, I don't think we're in too much danger there, but you never know. You never know.
So, trust.
Again, thank you so much for joining us today. And thanks to everyone who came on with their questions and their contributions. We really appreciate it. And I hope you'll all join me next month when I talk to Bob Wilkinson and Allison Rajakumar from Lubrizol. And that'll be again on March 17th at 12 p.m. And please do register or let me know you want to attend and I'll get you the link. So looking forward to it. And again, Mark, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you as well, Lee. And please, anyone listening, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm happy to talk. I'd love to learn from you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.